The book of Romans, chapter 8. Everybody, always bring your Bible. This is your sword. I want to spend a little more time on verse 1 and 2. And you remember how last week I shared that the Greek is different than the English. In the English, there's several words that come first. There is, therefore, now. But in the Greek, it starts out with the word no, condemnation. The emphasis is not as strong as it needs to be in the English. So the Greek always puts the word with the most importance first. So when it says no, that means you would have a tendency to still be condemned. It's very clear, no condemnation. So just say that, no condemnation.
No condemnation.
Now, somebody just say, I'm under no condemnation. I will not feel guilty because I am not guilty. Whatever my guilt was, it was covered by the blood of Jesus on Calvary. No condemnation. So, now, even though you still continue to sin, inwardly or outwardly, even though you still continue to sin, listen carefully, the reason there's no condemnation is it's not from your heart. It's not from your heart. When you sin, you forgot who you were, and you acted from your soul. You acted from your mind. You acted from your old mind. Your mind wasn't renewed yet, and you just forgot who you were. You looked in the mirror, and then you immediately forgot what you look like. Because Jesus Christ is your righteousness. Even though you have none, He became your righteousness. And when he went to the Father accepted not Jesus, but he accepted you. Because Jesus wasn't righteous for himself, but he was righteous for you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You say, but I am walking after the flesh. No. To walk after the flesh means that you're not walking after the Spirit, which means you believe in Jesus Christ. If you're walking after the flesh, that means you don't believe in Jesus Christ. So even though you just sinned and it looks like you're walking after the flesh, you actually didn't, because from your heart you didn't, and Jesus Christ covers it by the blood which is sprinkled over your sin, and so the Father doesn't see your sin. He sees the blood of Jesus, which has covered your sin, forgiven your sin, and Jesus is your righteousness, and the Father seeth no sin in you. So because he has declared that, that's who you are. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. You don't walk after the flesh. Even though it looks like you walked after the flesh, looks like is not real. Real is what I believe. I believe that Jesus is my righteousness. When he went to the cross of Calvary, spilled his blood, that was to cover my sin. Therefore, I don't have any anymore. Even though I do, I don't. Because he said I don't, and he is not a liar. Because when he went to the Father, he didn't go for himself. He went for me, and he became my life. He became me. He represented me when he went there as my high priest. And he said, Father, I just want you to know, Jim is okay. He believed on me that I was his righteousness. Therefore, there's no condemnation for him. He's no longer under the law. He's no longer walking after the flesh. He is walking after the Spirit. He now believes that the good work I began in him, I will surely complete. Do y'all see the good news? Now that's enough to make you shout.
Hallelujah.
That's enough to make you shout. Let's shout. Glory! Woo! Glory! Now, the reason for that is you're no longer you. You've become a new you, which is a container, a temple, a building, a pot, a cup, something that holds something. And what you hold is the Lord Jesus Christ through his word, the certainty of his word. You haven't seen it. You don't know that it's true. But just hearing it hath produced faith in you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you don't know God. You've never seen Jesus. All you know is the word. that the Spirit inspired, and you believe that. You don't have to believe that. There's no necessity to believe that. There's no reason to believe that. Why would you believe that? In fact, I'm amazed that anyone would believe that a word that is written by a God you've never seen is real. You don't need to believe that. There's no necessity to believe that. And when someone doesn't believe that, I'm not surprised. I can't even believe that I believe. I'm so amazed that I believe that truth, that it has utterly transformed my life, that I, being a wicked sinner, which I don't really know, I'm really believing that. I am only believing that because he said so. All I know is I've done some. And all I know is I haven't done anything good as far as I know. But that's all I know. I don't really know that I'm a complete rotten, horrible, nasty person. But it sounds true. But I don't really know that. But Peggy has told me that's true. So I have an idea it probably is. But not everybody has caught me. There are some people that actually like me, which is pitiful. Because they don't know I'm a consummate liar. That I have never, ever, ever told the truth. Ever. But thanks be unto God, he told the truth and he cannot lie. And he said, I've covered Jim. Woo! That's powerful. And because I believe that, I shouldn't believe that. There's no reason to believe that. I haven't done anything good. I just believe he was my goodness. I just believe that he was good for me. I believe something that is so ridiculous that I shouldn't believe it. It blows my mind because, rationally speaking, I haven't done all that well. I never did and I never will. I don't think I'm ever going to do well. I think the only thing is that he said, he is my righteousness. Do you believe that? And I said, well, yeah, I actually do. And the only reason I do is because you told me I was a worthless sinner, which sounded right. And I never argued with God about that. Never, ever, ever. I never argued with God that I was bad. I argued with Peggy, but I never argued with God. And the argument with Peggy was not that she wasn't right. It was just that she was the same. That was my argument with Peggy. Oh, Peggy, you're exactly the same according to the Bible. How many know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? So she can't lord it over me and try to get up and look down on me and despise me. Amen? Do you all see that? And she tried, too. I tell you. And I appreciate your feeling sorry for me being mad at her for doing that. But I've warned her. I had a lot of scriptures, too. Touch not the Lord's anointed. I mean, I put that one on her. And I had a lot of other ones, too. With the judgment you judge, you will be judged. Yeah, don't forget that, Peg. And so that got her. That slowed her down. I'm telling you, I crippled her good on that. But it didn't stop her from still judging me. She still did. She just couldn't believe that a guy like me could go to heaven. Woo! That is amazing. Because I never, listen to this, because this is probably not true of most of you. I never felt bad. When I sinned, I enjoyed it. When I sinned, I did it deliberately. I did it consciously, knowingly. It didn't kind of like surprise me. Oh, I can't believe I thought that. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. It's like, no, I know I thought that. I said that, and I did that. Not only did I not feel guilty, that's this chair here. This chair is feel guilt. But I didn't think that feeling guilt changed anything. I just felt, here I was, over here. I admitted I was over here. So this is me, a sinner. And a good one. A genuine one. An honest one. Right from the heart. I mean, I sinned from the heart, and the soul, and the body, and everything. But I never felt bad about it. And religious people feel bad about it. That's what makes their religion. And I call that phony and fake. Because God calls that phony and fake. He calls that hypocrite. Because actually, you're just like me. Isn't that sad? You're actually like me. Wicked, nasty, shallow, boring, worthless. I love it. And that's the one God loves. God loves this Jim. Oh, I love you, Jim. Mwah. See, God loves me so much. And I don't know why I just believe that. I totally believe that even though I'm worthless and even though I've done everything wrong, never did anything according to his law, and all I ever did was believe his gospel. I just believe the gospel side of Jesus, which is his right hand, and I didn't believe his left hand. I believed it, but I had no, I didn't feel bad. I never felt bad. I never felt sorry. If I hurt somebody, I never felt any remorse. I never felt bad about it. It felt like too bad. Tough. Grow up. Y'all see how cold I was? So if Peggy would say, "You don't love me," I'd say, "So? So what? Do you love me?" You see a little trick there, a little balancing act. Okay, Peg, you want to be ticked off at me for not loving you, which I don't. I don't care about you. I don't care about all your whining and, you know, all that stuff. But do you love me? Are you pretending like you're better than me because I don't love you, but do you love me, especially not loving you? Do you love me not loving you? Y'all see that? You don't see the humor of that. You do not see how clever I was to get her on the same boat as me. You see that? I mean, I didn't want the teeter-totter to look like this. Otherwise, you'd have a divorce. I kept the teeter-totter like this. But Peg, you're equal to me. I have scripture on my side too, which I don't even believe in, but I'm going to use it. Do you see that? You're not supposed to use it if you're not a believer, but I used it. Peg, look at this. All have sinned. What do you think of that? Woohoo! So, you can judge me, and I agree to it. I totally agree that I'm worthless, evil, mean, bad, nasty, selfish, but how stupid are you to have married me? And even though I deceived you, how stupid are you to not have asked Jesus, should I marry this wicked man? So, you believe my line? Your problem. Buyer beware. Caveat emptor. Y'all aware of that? So, you know, it's too bad that I deceived you, but I did. I don't feel bad about it. I don't feel bad about it because I'm just me. Y'all understand this is the one God loves. God does not love this one. This one doesn't even exist. Peggy is just this one right here. She met her match, me. And I had my equal, her. Don't you see it? No, I never felt it was a bad deal. That was just the deal I made. Nothing. You know, I'm not that bright anyway. I'm not that sharp. I might love somebody that's not worthy of love. Do y'all see that? And somebody might love me and they're completely deceived. But Jesus said, "I know everything about you, Jim, and I love you." Isn't that amazing? Is that not amazing? That transformed my life. No human being had ever loved me unconditionally. Not my mother, not my three fathers, nobody. Nobody cared for me. Now, I don't feel sorry for myself. That's a fact. And I didn't think they should. I never felt and still don't feel anyone ever owed me anything. Except to use me and abuse me. And if they could get to me first, it was dog eat dog. If you can get to me before I get to you, good for you. That's the way life is. No justice, no fairness, nothing's right, no problem. Do y'all see? Now, most of you, I know there's some of you that are exactly like me, but most of you feel you're in chair two. You do two things in chair two. Number one, you feel bad when you do wrong. Chair one doesn't. Number two, you make an effort, even if you're not perfect, you make an effort to do right after you've done wrong. For example, if you do something wrong, if you do three or four good things, that'll balance it off. Well, I didn't do that, and I didn't believe in that. So I never felt bad, and I never made an effort. I never felt bad, and I never made an effort. So I never tried to improve it. If Peggy would say, you know, "You did wrong right there. You whatever." Yeah, okay, I did. So what? What do you want to do about it? We're married. You know, too bad you're locked in now. Woohoo! isn't that funny? I mean, it's terrible, actually. Actually, not right. But why should I lie to God? And why should I lie to her? And why should I lie to myself? She is right. I don't. I don't care. Now, without Jesus, Jesus said in the Bible, you can do nothing. Well, all I was saying was what he said. And when I read the Bible, I was so amazed that the Bible agreed with me. A sinner. Isn't that funny? You don't think that's funny? I did. I thought that was funny that God, how foolish of God to love sinners rather than nice people, religious people, moral people, people that felt bad when they did wrong, people that made changes. Well, that's the right one to love. But God said he didn't. He called them hypocrites and liars. He said they go into the kingdom of hell. Why? Because they felt bad. And they thought that was good, to feel bad. But feeling bad about being bad is actually not good. Do you see that? I mean, if you've done bad, which I did, and then you feel bad, that doesn't help. To feel bad really doesn't add anything to doing bad. You still did the bad. I still was guilty, whether I felt guilty or not. When the policeman pulls me over, I do not feel guilty for speeding. I just feel like, too bad I got caught. And I hate him. Not because he's not doing his job. I just hate to pay the consequences of that. You know, whatever it is. I hate that I'll have to lie to him, or I'll have to pay, or I'll have to, you know, do something or other. You know, I just as soon speed and get out of there. And I'm tempted, you know, many times just to speed away. y'all don't do that, probably. But anyway, even after being a Christian, you would think I would change that. You know, after you're a Christian, you're not supposed to misbehave anymore. How many know that? You're not supposed to. But I have never done what I'm not supposed to. And I've never felt bad about it and never made a change. In fact, I won't even help Jesus out. It's a union job. He does his part. I do my part. I know my part is the sin. I know that's what I'm good at. I'm very good at that because he said I was a sinner. And I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do, sin. Amen? And why was Peggy so surprised? And the fact that she hid her sins didn't mean she wasn't a sinner too. As a matter of fact, I could tell she was a sinner because she was judging me. And she'd walk around the house with a frown. Peg, what's wrong? Nothing. Did you see how my face was? Here's how her face was. Nothing. Peg, you don't look happy. I'm fine. Did you see what a liar she was? I'm fine. I said, well, you don't seem happy. And then, you know, hours later, she would finally say, okay, well, I'm mad. Well, are you mad at Jesus? Not mad at Jesus. Well, are you mad at you? Probably, yes. Oh, well, you're not mad at me. And then she'd have to lie. So she said, I am mad at you. Well, I thought you were mad at you. And she just hated these conversations. Because all I wanted to do is be equal. You see what I'm saying? I mean, we're both sinners, then we can't judge each other. But if one is better than the other and you got a teeter-totter going, you're going to have a problem, you see? And I didn't want to end the marriage. After all, she was a sinner, I was a sinner, we were both equal. So we keep the marriage, you know. I accept you just the way you are, just as you are, without one plea, you know. So it's okay with me. I don't mind sinners. I think the world's full of sinners, and I think you're supposed to be a sinner until Jesus makes you not a sinner. And once he makes you a saint, then you're excited and happy, not because you improve yourself, not because you change yourself, not because you feel guilty when you do bad, not because you change yourself so that you don't look bad when you really are bad. Let him do it. Didn't he say, the work that I began, I'll do, surely, surely, I'll finish it. Didn't he say that? So then, why would I sit in this chair and have to do some labor? Didn't he say, come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So he didn't want me to labor and fake it and be a hypocrite and a liar. As a matter of fact, he said, Jim, everything you do is sinful. I agree. I totally agree. Everything I've ever done is sinful. I've never thought of someone else. I've always thought of myself. Even when I thought of someone else, I was thinking of myself, thinking about, you know, someone else, so I could use them. Y'all see that? Now, is there anybody nobler than I was? Is there anybody better than I was? Is there anybody who could stand over me and judge me and criticize me and be mad at me and be unhappy with me? You see, I believe Peggy should love me just the way I am, not fixed up. I believe I should love my mother the way she is, not fixed up. I believe I should love my enemies just the way they are, not fixed up. I believe Jesus taught me that he loved me while I was yet a sinner. Isn't that? I mean, he loved me. He loved me. And he even came to me and said, Jim, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wanted to give me the kingdom. And I had done everything wrong to not deserve it. Well, I don't deserve it. Yes, that's why I've come to you. I'm not Moses with the law. I'm Jesus, your Savior. Cool. So, you're not getting the left hand of the law. You're getting the right hand of the gospel. This is the hand whose blood covereth. So here you believe, here you obey or disobey. Well, I always disobeyed, so I never obeyed. Hypocritical obedience is not perfection. You remember the law? Listen carefully to the law. Be ye perfect as the Father himself is perfect. Well, that means when I'm perfect, that means I'm exactly like he is, and he never sinned, so I can never sin. But the Bible says I was conceived in sin, so it's not my fault. That was my mom's fault. she and the one-night stand father, they conceived me one night in sin. So, of course, I was going to be a sinner, and as soon as I came out, I sinned. But I was sinning even in the womb because I was conceived in it. So I don't see how anyone could blame me for that. Did you see that? I mean, how could God blame me for being born a sinner, born in sin, conceived in sin, 9 months even earlier? How could he ask me not to sin when I was a sinner? Did you know that all men sin? All have sinned? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Did you know that all? I mean, this is the Bible. So all have sinned. And what Jesus was saying was, the reason I came and gave you the law through Moses was so that you'd realize you were a sinner. I didn't come to make you be good. I didn't come to make you be a hypocrite and a liar and lip service to me, and then your heart was far from me. I just came to show you that your heart was evil, always has been and always will be, apart from me. I just wanted you to see that, so I gave you the law so you could see yourself. So the law wasn't given to make me good. The law was given to show me that I couldn't be good. Then Jesus came and said with his right hand, but the reason I've come, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth comes from me. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth. You see, there's something wrong with the law. It's got two problems. Number one, it won't forgive me when I do bad. And number two, it won't help me to be good. So there's two problems with it. It says, Jim, be perfect, and then it doesn't forgive me when I'm not. And then it won't help me to do it. So I need Jesus, the Savior, to forgive me when I'm not, and I need the Holy Spirit to help me when I can't. Now, the law has that deficiency, so he said, the reason I showed you the law was so I could give you my salvation, my grace, my mercy, and then change you through the gift of the Spirit. So as soon as I believe in Jesus, first of all, I have to, though, repent. That's here, chair number three. So repentance isn't repenting of chair number one, it's repenting of chair number two. Chair number, if repentance was just chair number one, then it would just simply be the fruit that I ate. But it's also the self or the tree that produced that fruit. So here's the bigger problem here. What about the self that produced all that fruit? I wasn't arguing with God about that. I never thought I had a good self. Never, ever, 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 ever in my life, even to this day, have I ever felt I was a good person. I've never felt, and I didn't even know about Jesus. I didn't even know about the Bible. No one ever took me to church. I was 11 years old before I ever entered a church. I didn't know anything about God or Jesus or anything else. I told you I did learn, now I lay me down to sleep, but just a prayer you prayed so you can go to sleep. It just didn't mean anything to me. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't think about it. And they only taught me that because, you know, they were taught that. So they handed that on to me. But that was it. I mean, we never went to church. Ever, 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 never. But when I was 11, that was the first time I went, and I told you all about that. So I didn't know what religion was, and I didn't know what trouble I was in. I just was a sinner, and I didn't think about going to hell. I didn't even know there was a hell, and I didn't think about going to heaven. I didn't know what, and if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I didn't even know what that meant. It's just something you did to go to bed. That was it. We never prayed at the table. We had no grace. I don't think Easter meant nothing. Christmas meant nothing. You know, so as a little kid, I was just simply raised in a mafia family. My Uncle Duke was mafia. He was Irish. My Uncle Vic, he was Italian mafia. And my Uncle Tom, he was Italian mafia. So all my uncles were mafia. And my mother was loose. And my other aunt was prostitute. And my grandmother had been married umpteen times and so on and so forth. So I didn't come from a good family. And we didn't have plumbing and, you know, so on and so forth. And just raised in what they call poor white trash. Isn't that exciting? You all see that? I love it. I love that God would come to me and say, Jim, poor white trash, I love you. That is amazing. Are you sure you got the right guy? Because you shouldn't be loving me. I even agree I'm not worth loving. I'd have to be trickery and treacherous and lie and deceive to get Peggy to marry me, because I know I'm not worth anything. And I don't care. See, I don't even feel bad about that. I don't even feel bad for her. I'm going to trick her and deceive her, and then she's going to marry me, and then too bad for her. Do y'all see that? Do y'all see the humor of that? You don't have much of a humor. You don't know yourself. If you knew yourself, you'd be laughing, because you know how wicked you are, because the Bible says you're wicked. I didn't say you are. The Bible says you are. I don't care if you're wicked or not. I don't care who you are. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you're not perfect. You're not perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. So your problem is not that you're not growing. The problem is that you never got cut down to reality. You remember John the Baptist, when he started his ministry, he said, repent. Why? Because he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. This is John the Baptist. Jesus repeated the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he said, for even now, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. He's not talking about the sins you've committed. He's talking about the tree that produced them, you. He's not talking about the things you did. He's talking about the person that did them. So repentance is not chair one. Those are just fruits. They're just superficial. That's just what happens when you're a sinner. Make the tree good, Jesus said, and the fruit will be good. Ah, your problem was your heart. You didn't have a new heart. And you had to be given one from somebody. And the only one that could do it was not you, was not somebody else. It was the one that made you in the first place. And how could he? Because he hates sinners, and yet you're the sinner. But you're not just the sinner because you sinned. You're also the sinner because of who you were. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Ta-da! Y'all see that? Ta-da! I think it's great. Don't you see that? Don't you? That's beautiful. Now, you say, Pastor Jim, you're so cheap. And what are you? And what are you? Are you expensive? Did you pay more? Were you not one of these? Did he come to save the righteous, the fake righteous liars? Let God be true and every man a liar. Did he come? Because if you do one sin, by the way, if you just commit one sin, just one fruit, that's enough to vitiate the whole law. So you are not perfect. One sin. Just have one tablecloth and just put a little bit of dirt on it. That's enough to ruin it. Or you made a new towel, but it has one rip in it. That's enough to make it a second. It's not perfect. It's not the best. And God only has one standard, perfect. When you go to heaven, up in heaven, everything has to be perfect. So everything up in heaven is like God. It's an expression of God. God is perfect, so you be perfect. That was the law. So the law on his left hand was for all men to hear, so that all men would come to Christ. The reason he was showing these sinners that you're not right, and he made you, but he didn't make you sin. He just made you so you could, and you did. And he told you not to, but telling someone not to doesn't help. Does anybody notice that? Telling someone, now don't think, okay, I'll give you an example. Okay, I want you to close your eyes. Just everybody close your eyes. Now, do not think that Paul Ayers is sitting right here. Okay, don't think that. Now, don't think it. Okay, open your eyes. Did anybody think that Paul Ayers was here? Because if I tell you not to do it, you're going to do it. Little kids are like that. You didn't think of it? That is awesome. That is so powerful. All right, God is good. Now, why am I going over this? Because our problem today in the church is not that we're not going on to chair 5 and 6 and 7. Our problem is we have never admitted that we were number one. Oh, yeah, I admit that I'm a sinner. Yeah, really. But did you ever admit that you're a phony and a fake and a liar? And that there's nothing good in you. No good thing. Nothing. There is no chair two. Chair two is just a lie about chair one. This is all that God loves, right here. Why would a holy God who has a holy law accept an unholy person? He can't. under the law. But what if, behind his back, his right hand, he reserved to himself, and if you read carefully the law, you'll see that God always reserves to himself, because he's God and he can do what he wants, the right to forgive a sinner if he wants to. Did you know that God has that? One thing, I just want to tell you, all sinners have to go to hell. But I reserve the right to forgive anyone who repents. If they repent, I reserve the right. All they have to do is repent. But repenting is not feeling bad. Repenting is not changing and being a hypocrite, chair two. Repenting means to be comforted by the fact that Jesus Christ is your righteousness. That's what repenting is. Repenting is not you changing. Repenting is him who doesn't change saying, I'm your change. I'm what you are. And if you believe that, and I didn't make myself do it. I just was sitting here listening to him and thinking how weird God was to love a sinner. I thought he was against him. But he had another word, not just the left-handed word, be perfect, but he had another one. And you are, because Jesus Christ, who is perfect for you. Therefore, you're acceptable. And if you believe, you are born again. And if you are born again, you can call upon me for my Holy Spirit, and I will not only forgive you all your sins because of the blood that I shed, but I will also give you the Holy Spirit, who will transform you and change you until you are exactly, exactly like me. Not in the likeness of sinful flesh. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the Spirit, but after the flesh. No, who walk after the flesh. You don't walk after the flesh, but you walk after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. Now, you don't just have his likeness, homoousia, homoousia, like reality. You have his icon, the Greek word for being an exact image of the living God, not just the likeness. Likeness comes afterward, but the exact image is not here, and it's not here, and it's not here, but it's here, because Jesus is the perfect image, the exact precise image of the Father, and he is now your life, and he now has joined himself to you by marriage. He has adopted you into the family. He has birthed you. And he has said, I'm going to write my law on your heart. I'm going to give you a new image, and then I'll make you like me. You'll be like me. So, the first one is to have his image. You are now created, recreated. Your first creation was not. But you are now recreated because Jesus is prototokos. That is, first, the first one, of the new creation. It comes from a word that means another creation. So he is the progenitor of a new race of people, and I'm one. And the only way you can qualify is to be a sinner. You can't qualify by being a religious, moral, nice, pretending, lying, legalistic, hypocritical person. You have to be one of these. This is the new race is born out of these people, who then repent of this, as well as the other one, and believe that Jesus Christ is my entire righteousness. When he went to the Father, the Holy Spirit, when he's come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness, because I go to the Father. When he went to the Father, that was your righteousness. He went for me. He went for you. He went for you. He went for you. He went for you. He named you. When he went up there, he said, Jesus, you're back. And he said, yeah, this is actually not just Jesus. I found a girl when I was down there. She's cute. And her name is Jim. It was not a homo thing. It just fell in love with me. Because, you know, in the kingdom of God, there's no male or female. Did you know that? But Jesus is the male and we're the bride. All of us. And that's not a problem, because women are now the sons of God. So, you see, we both got it. No problem. Because it's a new creation. This is a new creation. It's not like the old creation. This is a new one. Here he takes sinners and turns them into saints. How? By the power of his word. It's not really. See, I don't have any security here because I never did one of these. And I don't have any security in it. And I don't even have Jesus because he's gone. He took off. The only thing I have is His Word. All I've got is the Bible. All I've got is what His Word said. So I don't have any security. I only have the certainty that this Word is true. But I didn't make it true. I just believe it is true. I can't make it certain. It's just that I believe it. Why? I don't know why. I don't know why. It comes by hearing. I just heard it, and I didn't believe Jack and the Beanstalk, but I believe this one. There's no difference. They're both books, and they're both weird, and they're both strange. One says this, and another says that, and they're both crazy. They don't make any sense to my reality. Because in my reality, I should go to hell. In my reality, this is hell. But in his, he said, no, Jim, I love you, and it's my pleasure. The Father, in fact, that sent me, it's his pleasure to give you the kingdom. So he said that in this book, and I believe it as a certainty. And because I do, he counts it and reckons it as righteous and says, Jim, even though you did all those bad things and felt all those bad things and thought all those bad things and said all those bad things, I'm going to discount them. I'm going to count you as righteous because you believe that Jesus Christ, who didn't say any of those things, think any of those things, do any of those things, he is your righteousness. You believe that, so I reckon you. You took the certainty of the Word because you don't know Jesus. You never saw Jesus. You just read this Word. And you didn't even like it when you first read it. You didn't even like it. You know, first, the 2/3 of it in the Old Testament, I didn't want to read it all because that didn't apply to me at all. It had nothing to do with me. And I didn't like the part about having to be good and all that. So that one didn't apply to me. In the New Testament, it was against hypocrites, chair number 2. And I wasn't a hypocrite. I was just a bad person. So nothing applied to me. You know, but it seemed to me he was trying to get across a point. I love you. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the good people. Mm-mm. He so loved the world, the bad people. Ah, that's my book. So when I read that, I thought, wow, this is a good book. This is the kind of book I need. This is the kind of God I have to have. I can't go with Buddha. I can't go with Hindu thing. I can't go with all those other religions. They want me to shape up and feel bad and all. I don't want to feel bad and I don't want to shape up. I just want to be me. And Jesus said, I'll make you a new you. Really? How can you do that? Because I'll be you. You'll be me. That doesn't make any sense. Do I have to appreciate that? Do I have to like you for that? Nope. Wow. So Jesus did everything, and all he said was, the Father's been hiding this mystery hidden for ages behind his back, and now he brings it out in the Lord Jesus Christ and said, here it is. I'm revealing this mystery to you. This is not the mystery of iniquity. This is the mystery of righteousness. I give you as a free gift which you didn't earn and you cannot deserve it. It has to only go to people that are sinners. You seem to qualify. You seem to be the one this is written for, Jim. Wow. I'll take it. I don't know why I took it. I don't know why I believe that everything he said was true. I don't know why I did. But I'll tell you this. I know I did. No one can take this away. You can take away everything else, but you can't take this. I believe Jesus is not a liar. I believe this book is certain. And I trust in this book. And because I trusted in this book, you know what I've done? I have obligated God to keep his word. Now, I didn't have to do that, and he didn't have to do it. But the minute I said, God, I'm going to believe what you said, I just do. He said, I reckon you as one of my sons. Whoa! 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 How come? Just because you believed what I said. That's what pleases me. What a son is someone that believes what God hath said about you. I didn't know that. I didn't know what he said. It didn't even make any sense to me. You're calling me a sinner, a saint? I'm a sinner. No, you're not. Because Jesus Christ is your life. That's your life right there. Your life is hid with God in Christ. Your life isn't here. Your life is there. You're not seated here. You're seated there in heavenly places. I am. And for some reason, one day, I just believe that. And I believe that I'm his favorite. I believe that he's tickled pink over me. I just believe God likes me no matter what. And I don't work at it. I don't work hard at all. I've never made any effort, and I've never felt bad. I never, you know, Peggy would be on me all the time, try to get me to shape up and clean up and, you know, point out, you know, you're a Christian. How come you're not getting any fruit? Oh, Peg, you don't understand. I don't want to be a hypocrite and a liar and a legalist. That's Jesus' job. The good work he began in me, he'll surely complete. So I don't clean up. I just simply stay the way I am. I came in dirty. He's the one that said he was my righteousness, and he said, come on in as you are, just as I am, without one plea. That's me. So he said, sit down here, Jim. I was like the prodigal son, sat down with my dirty clothes on, didn't even wash up. He put the robe on me, put the shoes on me, fatted calf, the whole bit. He just said, you're my son. You were once lost, and now you're found. And I went, yahoo. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll take it. I mean, it's a lot better than those galoshes I was wearing. It's a lot better than the corn I was eating out in the pig sty. You know, this is a lot better deal. And in my father's house, it's better. Because he had been living in the pig pen. Remember how he lived it up? That was me. Remember how he lived it up, just did whatever he wanted? Didn't find any happiness or joy because he found out people only wanted to use him. He found that nobody was his friend. As long as he had money, he had friends. The minute he ran out of money and he couldn't offer him anything, couldn't offer anybody anything. How many know that you have nothing to offer? Because you're nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you are nothing. Apart from me, you have nothing. But in him, you have all things. You can do all things. You can be all things. You are all things. I love it. It's crazy, but I'm buying it. Now, because of that, I am the best husband that Peggy ever had. You see? But I'll check Peggy. Peggy, just tell him I'm the best husband you've ever had. Woohoo! Do you see that? And she's the best wife I've ever had. It's awesome. Y'all see that? No, you don't understand. This will not be good news to you unless you know you're sick. This will not be good news unless you know you're evil. This will not be good news unless you know exactly where you came from. Otherwise, you're going to be proud. You're going to think you're in chair two. No, this is for sinners. This is for people that failed. This is for flunkards. This is for people that didn't know anything about anything. They never loved God or his kingdom or appreciated him or anything. They just heard the story and said, what do I need that for? And then one day, it just came to them. They just heard it, and they believed the certainty of this word and said, I'd rather have the certainty of this word than the security of this world. I don't care that people know who I am or don't know who I am. It doesn't matter. My life is nothing. But now, my life is Jesus. And now the Father wants to put me at the head of the class. Woohoo! I'm taking it. I don't have any pride. I don't care. I don't care if everybody hates me. I don't care if people are jealous. I don't care if they... I don't care. Why? Because Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Do y'all have this? Do y'all get this down? You know better than I am. You're exactly as I am. It's pitiful and terrible. Dave, you're the same as me. Isn't that terrible?
That's terrible.
It is.
Which is not right.
David has worked very hard to be a decent person. He really has. Judy, is that not true? I mean, if you measure the two of us, David is a nicer person. I've never met many people that are as nasty as I am. Really. As cold, as unreligious, as unmoral, immoral. You know, didn't care. But David's, he's a good friend. He likes me even though I'm, you know, mean at times. Have I not been mean? You see, and yet he likes me anyway. That's why I like Monty. Monty is mean, and Monty is just the kind of guy I like. It's not the kind of guy you would like, but I like him. I like him just the way he is. Why? Because he's just raw, you see. And not only that, he's a hypocrite and a sinner all at the same time. One time he'll get up and say all this Jesus stuff, and the next time he'll be polluted as all get out. That's what I like. Hypocrite and a liar and a phony and a fake. That's my kind of man. You see that? Can we love one another when the other person doesn't deserve it? I'll ask you another question. Can you love anyone else? We only love people that do not deserve to be loved. That is the love of God. We don't love people that deserve it. We love people like Jesus did. He loves those that are not lovely, that are not worthy, that are not pure, that failed his law completely, that never did it, never felt like doing it, never did any lick of work, never amounted to anything. That's the one he loves. Isn't that exciting? Do y'all see this? This will save your marriage. This will save your life if you realize this is a gift of God because God is good and you're not. You got to be not good. I want you all to say it. I'm not good. I've never been good. I will never be good. The only reason I'm good is because Jesus is my goodness. And he did it for me. Now he's doing it in me. And he will do it through me. And it'll look like me. But it's actually him. But him and me are one. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. Amen? We're married. I'm one of his kids. I've been adopted into the family. Any way you can become part, I am. So he am, now I am. I used to be am not, now I am. Do y'all understand that? That's good news. This is really good message. This is really good teaching. No condemnation for them that are in, not this world, Christ Jesus. No condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I do. Why? Because he gave me a Spirit. All you have to do is believe on him, and then immediately you can ask for the Holy Spirit, and then immediately he has to give it to you. So chair 4 leads me to chair 5 and 6. And when the Spirit comes, first thing he's going to do is kill me. So now I'm actually dead, not just forgiven for being a sinner, but the sin is taken away. And now I actually love my wife. How come? Because Jesus Christ in me does. And Jesus Christ in me is Jesus Christ in me. That's me. That's a new me. Of course, it's a new creation. So you see, now I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the old has passed away and the new has come. I'm a new creation. You are a new creation. You love me right now. You don't have to try to love me. You don't have to understand. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to even do it. I just accept it. Thank you all for loving me. And I love you too in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set me free from the law of sin and death. I'm no longer under the law of sin and death. I'm now under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it set me free from that other law. Now I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. And I'm in a new creation and in a new kingdom, and I will live forever. That's powerful. If you knew that, if you knew that, now I'm not saying you are or aren't that. I just say you need to know it. You need to renew your mind until you know it. Then you would be happy. You would be rejoicing. You'd be laughing. You would be free. You wouldn't be laboring anymore. You wouldn't be stressed anymore. You wouldn't be worried anymore. You wouldn't be feeling guilty anymore. You would be no under, no condemnation, no shame, no nothing, no regrets. You would have no regrets. Why? Because Jesus Christ came to set the captive free. So I blessed one person. Praise God. The rest of you didn't even believe this. Did you believe it? You are believing it? Well, praise God. Is there anybody else? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I love it. Oh, isn't that great? Did you all love me? You have to. If you're a new creation. Because Jesus in you loves me because Jesus has always loved me. Even before the foundation of the world. Even before I even was born into the world, he loved me. Did you know that? And the good works that he prepared, you know what? If they aren't done, it's not my fault, it's his. Because he promised to do it all. And that's why I'm thankful, and that's why I praise him, and that's why I adore him. Because he did it all. He's not going to do it, he already did it. Doth not yet appear, but he already did it. That's why I'm now a new creation. Who would like to testify? Anyone like to testify? Yes, Rain. Woohoo! I could have had you sit up there. Been better picking on me. That's powerful. This gospel is for all men everywhere. It's not restricted to anybody. Whosoever will may come. God desires not the death of any sinner. He does not desire anyone to be, this is a silly thing, but to be predestined to go to hell. Nobody's predestined to go to hell. God knows, of course, what you're going to choose, but you're free to choose. If you want to be wherever you want to be, it's your choice. You want to be happy, you want to be a Christian, you want to be a devil worshiper, you can be whatever you want to be. It's your choice. You either believe God or you don't believe God. You can't make yourself believe God. You just either do or you don't. But if you do, blessed are you. blessed are you. And those that do not, who are still under the law of sin and death, what stress, what worry they're under. Because the world is getting darker for that kingdom. For our kingdom, it's getting brighter. Did you know that we're going to occupy until he comes? Did you know the Antichrist has no power over us? Those that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, who are not part of this world, though the whole world goes after the Antichrist, you don't. You and I are not part of the world. Therefore, the Antichrist has nothing on you. Did you know that? So the church is not going to rapture out and get away. That's a silly idea. No, the church is going to stay right here through the Antichrist time and witness and share. Did you know the two witnesses are actually still there when the Antichrist is ruling? And they're every day they're broadcasting the kingdom of God. I may be one of those guys. Seriously, I may be. I think Robert's the other one. And we may be broadcasting that gospel of the kingdom. And the Antichrist is so frustrated with us because we're going to be in his capital. We're going to be right where he is. That's why I think Robert's been working in Israel, because he wants to be right there. I think he thinks it's Jerusalem. So he's already there, and he's got some buddies and so on. So I don't have as many buddies as he got there. But you know what? How frustrating if I were the Antichrist. And I used to be in his kingdom. How frustrating to be on that guy's team. Because he loses, and those two guys, he can never shut them up. And then he finally gets them killed. And he's happy. I mean, 3.5 days, they're dancing and rejoicing and laughing and so on and so forth, because they finally killed off the last Christian voice. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes back. Where's my girl? She's lying and dead in the street. And she jumps up. Jesus! Isn't that funny? And the poor Antichrist, because his party and all the balloons are popped, the ice cream is melted, it's over. Jesus comes back, and he takes over, and we win. Woohoo! Y'all see that? Y'all understand? This is not your idea. I don't think any of you would have thought of this idea. This is just God's idea. It's just his pleasure to give you the kingdom. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Who's afraid of death? Who's afraid of being hated? Who's afraid of being misunderstood? Someone should say, I'm not. I'm not afraid. Perfect love casts out fear. Say it. I don't care if you... I'm not afraid. I have no fear in me. I have just joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? Say it. It's the certainty of this word which is describing you. Agree with God. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. Just do it. Based on what? Faith. That this is who you are. You're a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come.